hit churches hard, all churches, all over the world. Especially, though, in America, where the pandemic has combined with social and civil unrest that we're made aware of every day on social media. We think about the upcoming election. This has just been a crazy year in many, many respects. I think in future generations, when something negative happens, people will just use the phrase, it's like 2020, you know. It's just been a crazy year, and churches have struggled to find their footing, to maintain their identities and their focus. And it's no secret that this has hit the U.S. very hard. You know, I think about when all this began to take place. I knew it wasn't going to be good when all the restaurants closed down and my birthday was in March and I couldn't take advantage of those free birthday meals. And it just went downhill from there, didn't it? We know about the economic impact that this pandemic has had on our country. We see every day the negative things that have transpired as a result of what's going on in our country. And certainly all this has impacted the Lord's church as well. You know, I've had a chance to visit a few people during this time, people that still are not comfortable in coming to church. And, you know, those people feel a sense of loneliness and isolation that simply cannot be explained. I personally believe that the aspects of loneliness and anxiety and depression may be more negative than the actual virus itself. And so this has had an impact on all of us emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And anyone that was a part of this church 7 months ago knows that we're not quite the same as we were then. You know, churches are always evolving. Churches are always changing because people come and go. And every time somebody does, we're not the same church. Are we ever going to get back to where we were in March? You know, there are some folks that I've hardly seen in a few months, and it's not because of any fault of their own. It's because of this pandemic. But due to the pandemic, change has taken place with warp speed. It's giving us little time to adapt, to catch our breath. And we're close to 7 months into this. I think it's time to perhaps take stock of where we are right now and where we're going and where we need to go. You know, this pandemic and all that's gone with it exposed some cracks that were already there, some of which we knew were there, but perhaps had ignored, and others we really didn't see until this pandemic transpired. You know, when all this first started, I found myself praying that God would get us back to where we were in March. You know, get us back to where we were and what is normal. I think that's probably what most of us so desperately wanted. But then I began to realize that maybe that wasn't the best prayer that I needed to pray. Maybe that wasn't the prayer that I should be praying, that maybe God has more in mind for us than just being what we were. Perhaps our normal might not be good enough for Him. Maybe He wants us to be more than we were. Maybe God wants us to be better than we were. And so now I have a new prayer. My original prayer was for the church to go back to what I liked, to go back to, you know, what I was really comfortable with. Now my prayer is that God will show us what He wants us to be and guide us into being made in His image and not our own. Maybe God is giving us an opportunity to become more than we ever would have been had this pandemic not occurred. Maybe this is a wake-up call to the church so that we can get closer to God and we can let Him strengthen us, because who knows, there may be even more struggles ahead that we've not yet seen. You know, I think all of us kind of have the mentality, you know, what's next? You know, we've dealt with all this that's happened thus far, and it's October, surely it can't be over yet. What's next? Now, with all this that I've said thus far, in the first place, this pandemic, I believe, has made us unsure of a lot of things. But one thing that we can be absolutely certain of, while there may be some cracks in the foundation of our faith, there's none in the true foundation. There may be some cracks in our personal faith, but there's none in the foundation of our faith, because that foundation is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. Now, if our foundation is something else, we're in trouble. If our foundation is in material things, if our foundation is in our social status, if our foundation is our job and things of this world, then we're in serious trouble. But if our foundation is in Jesus Christ, we cannot lose. We will be victorious. If you turn over to Luke chapter 6, we learn that we cannot build a house without a solid foundation. But if your foundation is solid, nothing can bring that house down. If you look at verse 47 beginning, Jesus said, "Everyone who comes to me hears my words and does them." Now notice that three-step progression to being a true follower of Jesus Christ. First of all, one must want to come to Jesus. One must desire to follow Jesus. And there are many people in that particular category. There are a lot of people that are willing to cry out, "Lord, Lord." But Jesus said that's not enough. He said, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words." Again, there are many people that want to come to Jesus. There may be many folks that hear His words, but maybe those words conflict with their lifestyle. Maybe those words contradict what they think and what they've been taught and what they believe religiously. Jesus said, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them." We must be willing to come to Jesus. We must be willing to hear His words and do them. And then notice what Jesus said. "I will show you what He is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation, and when the stream broke against it, immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great." In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, you'll recall how Peter had made that wonderful confession. "I believe that You, Jesus, are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Upon this rock, Peter, upon this confession that you've made, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Notice that, gates of hell. Did you get that? You know, this pandemic has been bad. The rioting and the looting and the destruction of property has been bad. There's a lot of things out there in our world today that are bad, that are negative. But none of these things are even close to the gates of hell. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When we're built upon that rock, Jesus said we can take it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, Paul said, "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid the foundation. Someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." And so you see the foundation, Jesus Christ, God's own Son, that foundation has been given to us. And that solid foundation, it's up to us to build upon it. And when we do that, we cannot fail. You see, what we're really experiencing, I believe, is not just a reopening of the church, but in many cases, we're sort of rebuilding what we had, aren't we? It's kind of like when a tornado comes through and, you know, destroys property. We begin to rebuild. You know, what we had back in March is somewhat gone to a great degree, but we still have that firm foundation. And so what we need to do is to lay hold of that foundation. We need to start there. We need to build there. And when we do, we cannot go wrong. So secondly, what is it that we really need to do? We know our foundation is solid. We know our foundation has no cracks. We can depend on it. So what is it exactly that we need to do? Well, it's simple. We need to make sure that we are disciples of Jesus, not just members of the church. Somebody said, "But I thought being a disciple of Jesus and being a member of the church was the same thing." You know, Acts 2 verse 47 says that, you know, believers were added to their number. They were added to the church. Well, that's absolutely correct. When you turn to Christ in repentance and baptism, He automatically adds you to His people. He automatically adds you to His church. But folks, there's a huge difference in seeing yourself as a member of an organization versus being the follower of some person. You know, being a member, that is an organizational term. Being a member identifies your place in the group, you know, a part of the larger body. And a Christian is a part of the body of Christ. So that part is true enough. Being a member is an organizational term. Being a disciple is a relational term. It means you orient your whole life around someone. It's someone that shapes your thinking, someone that shapes your priorities, someone that shapes your behavior. Now, in the New Testament, followers of Jesus were called disciples far more than they were called Christians or members. You can see that especially in the book of Acts. Now, the classic definition of a disciple is a student, a pupil, one who has been taught. But there's more to it than that. Far more to it. You see, a disciple attaches himself or herself to a teacher to learn from him, to imitate that particular individual in his everyday life. It's not just a learner, but an imitator. It's kind of like being an apprentice, but it's much more. Now, an apprentice goes home at the end of the day, doesn't he, when his work is done? But a disciple lives in his master's presence 24/7, learning and following and imitating. And so, folks, when you're at work, when you're on your job, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. When you are at school, when you're taking your classes, when you're with your friends, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. When you're at home, when you're engaged in recreational activities, you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are a follower of Christ first and foremost before you are anything else. In other words, you're never off the clock. You know, when you're on your job, isn't it nice when it gets 5 o'clock, maybe to punch that clock and whew, now I can go home. I'm off the clock. Don't have to work anymore. But folks, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're never off the clock. There's never a time when you can relax and say, well, I don't have to worry about what I say and where I go, and I can make my own decisions. I can do things my own way. I can live life the way I choose, and I can do what I please. I'm off the clock. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are never off the clock. And so we need to think of ourselves not just as members of the Jesus Club, but followers of Jesus, personally attached to Him, sitting by His feet day by day. You know, I'm a member at Sam's Club. You know, I have a card and I have to show that card whenever I go into Sam's, and I have that card. It gives me access to all the goods and the services that Sam's offers, but I'm not a disciple of Sam. Because when I'm not in Sam's stores, he has absolutely no relevance to my life whatsoever. I've never even met Sam. Sam, as far as I know, has been dead for many years. But as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I need to understand, in contrast to that, that there's nothing that I do, there's nowhere that I go, there's nothing that I am or ever will become that's not impacted by my decision to follow Jesus Christ. You see, being a disciple means putting into practice what we've learned from Him. That's why Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 46, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And so we need to understand today that discipleship is serious business. It's about obedience. It's not about pleasing ourselves. It's not about convenience, but it's about pleasing my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe that one way this pandemic may have impacted a lot of Christians today is by having the attitude that Christianity has become somewhat convenient. I remember standing up here several months ago as we were worshiping strictly by live stream. It would be just me and four or five other guys here on the front participating in the service. That's a lot different from what I'm seeing right now. And oh, I'm so thankful that we are back together worshiping God. But I wonder if maybe this pandemic may have left us with a sense of convenience. You'd have to say it's pretty nice, right, to sit back at 10 o'clock in your easy chair, your recliner, maybe even pull up the footstool, right? You partake of the Lord's Supper and all, and you listen in, and maybe you participate in the singing, and when it's over, you just put your footstool down and go about your daily business. I wanted to one time get up here and say, for our scripture read, please remain standing for our song and scripture reading. Get out of your recliner right now, please, you know, but we didn't do that. But I really wonder if maybe we got into a pattern where we really enjoyed being convenienced. We didn't have to worry about our other obligations. We were focused inwardly, right? We were focused on us. You know, this pandemic was serious. We weren't concerned as we should be about encouraging other people. We weren't having to put ourselves out and showing our love and concern for lost souls. It was something by which we were restricted, and we really had to be, I guess, to a certain degree. But could it be that that attitude has left its mark? That now we still seek a religion of convenience. And one of the concerns that a lot of churches have had is how many members are we going to lose because of folks not being able to assemble, because of folks, particularly those that are weak in faith, because of habits that they've developed that they might not even come back to our assemblies. And so I think we need to examine ourselves, and we need to make sure that we understand the seriousness of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. To understand everything that involves. And when you're a disciple, and the worst that happens in life, the worst that life can possibly throw at you comes about, you're not thrown off course by it. That doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. You know, when you lose a loved one, that hurts. When you're dealing with personal anxiety and conflict, that hurts. When you're dealing with physical pain and suffering, that deeply hurts. When you experience disappointment and betrayal by family or friends, that hurts. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt, but if you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you still have your bearings. Why? Because no matter what happens in this life, you're still following Him. You know that He is in control. You know that, and you know that you can trust Him to see you through. Over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, the writer said, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely to us, and let us run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated on the right hand of the throne of God, looking to Jesus." That's the key. That's the key to being a successful disciple of Jesus Christ. That's the key to being the person that God wants you to be, and the key for the church to be what God would have it to be. We have to look to Jesus. I've said this before, but our goal in life is not to get to heaven when this life is over. Now, don't get me wrong here. Listen to what I'm saying. Our goal in life can't be just to get to heaven when this life is over. If we're going to successfully live the Christian life each day with all the struggles, with all the difficulties, with all the temptations that we face, we have to look to Jesus. Now, what that simply means is when I get up in the morning, my goal is not primarily to get to heaven when this life is over. My goal when I get up in the morning is to try to be more like Jesus. When I get up in the morning, when I go to work, when I go to school, my goal is to be more like Jesus in the attitude that I possess. I want to be more like Jesus in the words that I speak, in the encouragement that I give, in the love that I show other people. You see, if I get up every day and my goal is to be more like Jesus, that's something I can get my hands around. You know, heaven seems to be way out there, right? It's somewhere down the road. And ultimately, I want to make it to heaven when this life is over. But in order to make it to heaven when this life is over, I have to become more like Jesus today. And every single day as I go about my activities, that is my primary goal. Because you see, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. That means that I'm seeking to learn from Him and to imitate Him in everything that I say and think and do. And so thirdly today, where do we need to go now? What do we need to do now? Well, individually, I think we need to commit ourselves, every one of us individually, to being a genuine disciple. Not just members of the Del Rey Church, but true followers of Jesus Christ. You know, remember that when Jesus gave the Great Commission, He said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, go and make church members. And He said, you do that by baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And so if, you know, you haven't been baptized, you need to do that. You can't start on your discipleship journey until you do that. But beyond that, being taught is so very important. And that can be both being taught by other people. It can also mean being taught by God's Word through your own study. A good suggestion that I would give you is start reading the gospel accounts, especially in Matthew. And notice what Jesus did. Notice how Jesus obeyed the will of His Father. Notice how Jesus interacted with other people. Notice how He prayed. Notice what He taught. And do just that. It really isn't that complicated, but it requires seriousness of purpose. And I think all of us need to seriously sit down, and I think we need to study what true discipleship is all about. We need to study what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I think we need to do this in our Bible classes from the time our children are young all the way through our adults. We need to do this in the classroom. We need to do this from the pulpit. We can never really be the church that God wants us to be unless we truly understand what it means to be a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. We need to know what it looks like to follow Jesus. We need to know the challenges that we're going to face. We need to be aware of the blessings that come from being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand the sacrifices that are involved. And hopefully we are all gradually going to be finding ourselves becoming more and more like Jesus. Genuine disciples. Jesus followers. People whose lives are directed toward knowing their Lord more and more, living for Him in all the ways that He wants us to. What we need to do, the challenge that we face, is we need to get back to the foundation of our faith. Back to the perfect Lord and Savior. To the one who gave everything for us and calls us to give everything to Him in return. And if we'll do that individually, we'll be the church that God wants us to be. Now, you may be one that's ready to start following Jesus today. If that's the case with you, it'll be our joy to hear you today, to confess the name of Christ, to assist you in being baptized unto Him so that you can start living the life of one for whom Jesus just isn't one thing in your life, He's everything. So this morning, if we can assist you in any way, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.